Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Joining us now is the Green Bay Packers' new head coach, Matt LaFleur on Wilde and Tauscher.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
Matt LaFleur, Matt Nagy, and Matt Patricia. Who is the most famous non-NFC North head coach not named Matt? No, I'm sorry.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio at ESPN Madison.
Who is the most famous non-NFC North head coach named Matt? Matt Damon, Matt Ryan, somebody else.
And celebrating 10 great years on ESPN Wisconsin.
Can you repeat that question?
Sorry.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Jesse and Tausch, Wilde and Tausch. Jason's summer sabbatical continues through the end of this week. He'll be back next week just in time for the start of Packers training camp, 1 week from tomorrow.
Yeah, that sounds right.
It is right.
It sounds right,
can
too.
Confirm. Next Wednesday, training camp starts.
Not really. I mean, they don't have, there's no padded practices for another 4 or 5 days after.
We've covered a lot of ground on today's show, a lot of Brewers conversation. I was at the game last night. I had a great seat to watch Freddie versus Miz, which probably did not live up to the hype, but the hype got you in the building. And then the Brewers delivered offensively, striking Freddie Peralta pretty quickly in each of the first couple of innings. But we also talked about Devontae Wyatt and his contract extension with the Green Bay Packers earlier. Tausch, you were pretty impassioned, I would say, in saying that what this move shows to you is another example of Brian Gutekunst and Packers leadership believing that the Packers have a winner in store right now.
I don't know if I was impassioned. It's common sense. What do you mean impassioned? I stated facts.
I thought you were fired up, and that got me a little fired up. This thing is good to go.
I'll be honest with you. I don't think that was any, like I'll tell you when I think my analysis is really, really good. I think it's fine. The proof is in the pudding, man. Like I say all the time, don't listen to what people say. Watch what they do. And the Green Bay Packers could say all they want to say, oh, we like this guy. Oh, we want this guy. Oh, Aaron Jones will be back. Until the contract is done and until things are kind of, they will show you, hey, we really like this team. You saw it last year when they said, we know we don't have a good enough pass rush. We know that this is a rare opportunity for someone to be available, and we're going to go do it. And when you sign Devontae Wyatt and you sign Christian Watson, you could say, oh, I really like Christian Watson. Well, how much do you like him? We like him this much. They, and unfortunately, Christian likes us this much, so it works. Devontae Wyatt, you had that. You had all these draft picks, and I think in Jason's article, he talked about how many of this one draft class is signed compared to the 3 or 4 years where it's just Jordan Love and I think Isaiah McDuffie. And obviously, that class has been a boon, and Brian Gutekunst likes it. And he has said, we need these players to see the next 3 or 4 year window through because we believe what we had last year was good enough. And for all the Packer fans that don't like Matt LaFleur and wanted a new coach and a new voice in that locker room, the Packers looked at it in a different way. Whether or not they're going to be right or not is going to determine whether these moves pay out. But this is the... You're sitting at a slot machine at Hard Rock Casino Rockford. It ain't moving. Whether it's a Buffalo Games or a Wheel of Fortune, whatever that slot is, we are dumping coins in and expecting a jackpot. And if you keep dumping them in and you're not getting anything and occasionally you'll get something and it'll just tease you and then you keep spending and it's, eventually, you got to come up with the sevens or the wheel or whatever, the Buffalo Stampede, whatever your slot is, the Packers are investing in it and expecting a monster payout. Whether or not they get that, I don't know, but you can tell they are not interested in going somewhere else. They are, bam, this is where we're putting our money and we're expecting big things.
I like the fishies when the fishies like blow up and then there's like the green one, the red one, the purple one.
I like the old days. Where you'd go in to Hard Rock Casino Rockford, or you would go in and you would just see, and it's like, all right, if I get 3 sevens, I win. If I don't, I don't. Now it's like five Buffalo Stampede, and you got to like cross. It's crossed out, and it's this one. How do you even win anything?
It's tough. You got.
And then there's one. I'm going to be honest with you. There's one where there's. It says bonus, and it's in green, and it click, 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 and it gets to where if you fill out the word bonus, it gives it to you. But it doesn't. I'm not a slot guy. I don't know why I ended up playing slots. And then the other one is you get this thing, and they'll shoot like these little dynamite things, and it'll hit. And
I like the dynamite one.
So it's blue,
one.
Green,
yeah,
and red.
That one.
But the short, it's always short-circuited. The last one is always shorted. So I'm getting there. Oh, we're down to one. And we hit it, and I'm like, awesome. And it'll whoop, hit the spot, and then the thing will go, zzz, it'll fizz, and then it won't go. And I'm like, what the hell are we even playing this for? It's not firing up. It's not hitting, but they keep teasing us. But then I'm also the same guy that says, in the Buffalo game, at least tease me. So I'm being real hypocritical here. I don't know what I even want. I don't know what wins, and I really struggle with slots.
That was great Packers analysis that turned into a slot machine rant. And believe it or not, this is not
but
time.
But the same thing goes with lottery game, like the lotto.
Like a scratch-off?
Half the time, you don't even know. You just give them to the cashier and say, did I win anything? Most of these lotto games, you don't know.
If you do like the pick three or whatever the ones are with the ball,
I'm
with
saying the
scratch-offs.
You're scratching. You're like, did I win? I don't know. Just give them to the cashier and
they'll
see.
You gotta know if you're winning a scratch-off.
You don't.
They're not that difficult to understand if
you're
winning.
I'm not talking like I'm talking these $4 or $5 ones where it's like different. It's not as easy as you'd think. And there's a lot of times I bet people leave money on the table because they don't know.
It is not time for you to tell us
about. Do people really understand
hard
slots? Do people understand how slots work? If you're not an avid, everyday heater in your hand, ripping that little, what do they call
the knob?
What? No, it's not called
the lever.
Knob.
The lever.
If you're not doing that on a if you're
they
just randomly popping in to a casino, do you have any clue what you're doing? You're trying to win in slots.
I think 80% of the people on the slots are regulars at those
but
slots.
But if you're not a regular, regulars figure it out, and they're like, oh, no, you got to get a buffalo in that first line. Oh, and then you got to get this, and then you got to get a gold coin with an eagle. And you're like, what?
You're just there for the ride. You're there for the pretty colors.
It's
and honestly,
fun.
And the buffaloes.
It's
honestly.
Fun when you win. It sucks when you lose.
When you hit the bonus. And beep, beep, beep,
the bonuses
beep, beep,
are fun.
Then you
the stampedes are fun. You get free spins.
The music starts going all around you. It's an immersive experience.
It's something. It is something. But most people have no clue what the heck they're looking
at. No, I would say even when I like go and sit there with my dad, like he'll pull up the rules first before he starts playing just to see how you can win. And there's like 100 pages of rules. There's no way to know what the like this is a win, this is
Wait,
not
where
a
is
win.
He, where does he find the rules?
Like, what is there?
There's like on the slot, there's like a rules
they have
button.
A pamphlet?
Can, yeah, it says like how to win or rules and then not a pamphlet.
Just wait,
it
pulls
pops
up on
the screen.
Yeah. So you
and it
can
shows
stop.
You all the lines.
So
yeah.
You can stop playing and just say, I want an introductory course to this slot.
How to win this game, yeah.
Want a slot syllabus? What?
It's kind
do
of
they do a
syllabus,
seminar?
Yeah. It's I don't
or
think
is this
there's
all individual?
A slot seminar. No, it's just on the individual machine. Like, this is how you win the fishy game. This is how you win the buffalo game.
Stop saying
game.
Fishy game.
I like the fishies. They're my favorite. I don't know what the actual game is called. They have a whoop, whoop, whoop,
to bring it back full circle, we all do we agree that the Packers are sitting now, they only are playing one slot game? There is no longer. They're not bouncing around. This is what they're doing.
I think it's a great analogy, and it brings me to this text I was going to read you from our guy Matt Coonan. He texted in during our conversation, said, it's about time the Packers commit to a team. There's been so much draft, so little develop. Excited to see what developed talent does on
great
this team.
Great point by Matt. That's why he's our MVT-er.
One could say you hit the jackpot, Tausch, when you went to go see your friends at MoMA.
Really? Good line. Your quips are good today.
Why is everyone so impressed when I do something well?
Do you not like compliments? You
like, oh.
Live for compliments.
No, but like you don't have to be impressed about it. Like, Evan, oh,
all right, Jesse,
wow,
you
that's
stink.
A good question.
All right,
like,
Jesse, you
thanks.
Stink. You're a pain in my neck. And if you've been putting up with a pain in your knee, shoulder, back, neck, any joint or muscle pain, you don't have to tough it out. And I'm telling you, Jesse, you saw it. The latter part of last year was rough. I couldn't get up and around. My knee was really struggling. I needed to do something different. I wasn't going to just say I'm going to tough it out. I wanted to be smart. That's why I've partnered with MoMA, the Midwest Orthopedic and Musculoskeletal Alliance. They bring together trusted local providers, OIW, SMOC, Innovative Pain, and it makes it easier to find the right specialist and the right treatment for you. And I know I looked at it like, I don't want to go in and get an MRI and park. And it is just such a big hassle to think about doing it. You're just going to stay. I'll just tough it out. No, 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 no. I met with the great team at Ortho Laser. My knee has, knock on wood, not felt better than what it does right now. MoMA can get you back to what you're doing, what you love. I highly recommend seeing their team, as I've personally seen how it has helped me. Learn more, walk in or call today, or go to MoMAMKE.com. That's MoMAMKE.com.
Good Karma Brands founder and CEO Craig Karmazin.
Wow, in person.
In studio with us. 10 for 10 series built by Outdoor Living Unlimited, celebrating Wildy and Tausch's 10th anniversary, presented by Steinhoffels. Next on Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Wildy and Tausch, Jesse and Tausch today. Jason's summer sabbatical continues. It is Wildy and Tausch's 10th anniversary, presented by Steinhoffels. Our summer-long celebration continues. And one of our favorite things that I know you and Jason have really enjoyed is the 10 for 10 series built by Outdoor Living Unlimited, where we've had a number of special guests who have been significant people who have influenced and impacted this show over its 10-year run join us to talk about some fun stories and to share their insights on what's happening right now in the world of sports. And it is time not only for Craig Karmazin, founder and CEO of Good Karma Brands, to join us for that segment, but I did update the intro so it doesn't sound like a funeral anymore.
That'll be nice.
So here you go. This is the new Outdoor Living Unlimited 10 for 10 series as part of Wildy and Tausch's 10th anniversary, presented by Steinhoffels.
10 great years.
I didn't realize that I was going to be witnessing miracles this morning.
10 incredible guests.
Yeah, this is for Mark Tausch, or Tausch as they say. This negativity's got to stop.
10 unique ways to feature those who have influenced this show the most.
Oh, I'm shocked you guys still have my phone number, much less still had me on the air.
Wildy and Tausch's 10th anniversary is presented by Steinhoffels, and this is the 10 for 10 series, built by Outdoor Living Unlimited, Wisconsin's best deck builders.
I'll say it is definitely better than what it was.
It's a tone shift.
Yes.
That's what you were looking for.
The last one, Craig and Craig Karmazin, our CEO and founder, it was a morgue.
So are we counting from 10 to 1 here? I just want to know where I rank in these in this top 10 list.
It's the only thing we're not ranking, I think.
You
were
like Jordan Love. You were kind of in the honorable mention, and then since you came in person, we bumped you into the top 10.
Might as well try to have you. Yeah.
So are they receiving votes?
You were receiving votes for a bit, and then you, showing up is one of the most important things. Yeah. You doing that got you into the top 10.
Yep.
So congratulations.
So I now am in the top 10?
Barely.
Yeah, okay. You made it.
Barely.
Like, who got bumped? Like Pat Richter or someone?
Pat Richter would get bumped.
I think it depends.
Evan Cohen, I think, got bumped.
It depends if we make a trip to Pittsburgh in a couple of weeks or not, I think would be impact the rest of the list coming up. Craig.
Have you guys talked about this?
We have talked about it. We're kind of all in. We had a partner that we thought was in with us. I still think that Jason, under all circumstances, needed to go, but it's easy to spend everybody else's money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm saying the breaking news out of Pittsburgh about the big reuniting of the family.
Yeah. Obviously, the Rodgers component to this, and Jason obviously did a great job with the show. What do you make of this? Because I heard this yesterday, and it brought a smile to my face. I was happy that Aaron, I think it's great. I don't know how much of it's true. I don't. But that obviously, anytime you can mend fences in the family, you should be, especially for someone that has, you know, had the stretch the last 10 or 12 years where they have not, you got to feel good about that.
Yeah, and there's some people who had strong takes on it, like, you can't do that with your family no matter what, blah, blah, blah. And I think unless you're in someone's shoes, you don't know. But, I mean, whether they made up or whether he accepted whatever he didn't want to accept, but he, you know, just got over it. I think there's some positive.
Who do you think reached out? It had to be Aaron.
I would guess there. I mean, who knows how many reach outs there were in between that were unreciprocated. But I think overall, it's a positive and it's a weight off. And when you watched Aaron's documentary on Netflix, like, he didn't seem like someone who would if that's who he was, would get caught up no matter almost how bad it was, that he would find a way to get through it and, you know, and not judge people, you know, for, you know, the things that they may still do that he doesn't believe are right.
And don't you think that's just getting older? Like, have you noticed as you've gotten older, you've gotten wiser, or is it opposite?
No. I mean, I think I'm more stubborn, more obnoxious.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. I think that's what those closest to me would say.
Would tell you that you're more stubborn, and why?
I think, like, you just start thinking you're right about stuff. You know, you, you're surrounded by all yes people. I mean, you know, typical
stereotypes. You work hard to, not have that, though,
when
don't
I
you?
Started, I mean, remember, I started in Beaver Dam. I was salt of the earth. Like, we were hanging up our banners at the remotes and, you know, doing all that. And now, like, I mean, do I even go to work? Like, who even knows? Like, am I even here?
I guess that's a great question. Is this AI, all a psyop?
This is like some AI hologram version of me.
I didn't even realize this could all be AI.
Yeah.
Animatronic Craig joining us.
All the old Stephen Craig show listeners who are with us all the years.
Man.
Like, when I run into them at the Quick Trips, like, they're like, you've changed, man. You've totally changed. No, like, literally, I ran into a guy the other day at Quick Trip, and he was like, Dumpy. He just walked up to me, Dumpy. And I was like, really? I think I'm looking. He's like, no, I'm Dumpy, the caller. And I was like, oh, Dumpy, man. I miss you. How you been?
What do you miss most about doing that show?
I mean, I think for me, it was the idea that people actually consumed it, because we were so stunned that, you know, because generally when you do this, you're doing it because it's fun and hopefully you're enjoying it and you're doing what you do with your friends, even if you weren't on the air. And so then when all of a sudden someone would show up and tell us, like, oh, remember that? The best would be those days where, like, I would get off the air sometimes and be like, why am I doing this? Nobody's listening.
Dad,
like,
I know that someday. Like, I know that feeling.
Like, literally nobody's listening. Like, that's how we felt at times as we were getting this thing going. And, you know, there was no streaming. Our signal didn't reach the market well before we moved it to Madison, you know, back in 08, you know. And so we would do these shows and I'd be like, God, nobody listened. And, like, I remember, like, I told this whole story about when I was first dating, the first person I dated in Madison, and I came home and went back to her apartment, and there was a chance where something was going to happen, but back then there was ESPN Classic, and there was this Syracuse St. John's basketball game on.
Lou? Was Sweet Lou coaching?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, Boeheim versus Carnesella.
Oh, you got to watch that.
And I got, like, so distracted, and she ended up just passing out, and it was like the first time, like, I, like, had, like, had a chance, like, with a girl in Madison, and I, like, literally blew it. And I'm like, I get off the air and I'm like, why did I just tell that story to, like all of, like, myself, basically? Yeah. But, like, over the next, like, 3 months, it was amazing. Like, 20 different people I ran into places, like, would be like, oh my God, when you told that, and when she did that, and when you did. And, like, you just realize, like, the community that we were able to build. Because Steve and I still do the show, like, 5 times a day. Like, we talk all the time. And Steve's the president of our company. And we're still, despite what I said earlier, we're still hopefully the same people. And we're still best friends. And, you know, as a company, we've evolved. But, you know, it was cool to have that community.
So you're obviously running. The company has gotten bigger and bigger. How do you balance, and we do this on our show, when you balance, and Jesse today was trying to give out relationship advice.
By the
advice.
Way, I thought Jesse said, maybe I caught it wrong. He's like, when I was like, oh, no Wildy today, he's like, yeah, it's much better this way.
He loves it.
Yeah.
No, this is what he loves.
Depends on the day.
Yeah. How do you balance, because people come, they want to hear about the Packers, but when you're just looking at the company as a whole and content, you still consume a lot of content. How do you balance your story, because I'm guessing that probably did about as well as anything you did breaking down Badgers losing to Cincinnati, which I know was when Barry called in, and that's a great premise to how this company really got rolling. But how do you balance the personal stuff, parenting, et cetera, with the sports if you're still hosting a show?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to be excited to and care about what you're talking about. So if you care about the Packers offensive line, which I don't, then,
yeah, well, you become more flashy. You're not you don't worry about the dumpy. No, you're now worried about all the flash quarterbacks.
I just like at some point I stopped following high school recruiting, and like I realized I wasn't gonna be able to do that. At some point I realized I'm like, if I'm trying to break down the Packers offensive line and someone's listening,
you think Jordan Morgan's gonna be able to hold up over there? Or not?
And someone's listening and actually believes me, then like I'm just reciting what someone else said, like being around Chewy, being around you, like there's people who actually bring that value. And so for me, I think it with any show you want to, and with any role, you want to focus on the strengths. And I think people want to, like, I don't think you're successful in this role because you know, we're a Badger Packer, all that. Like, that takes you to another level. But I think people relate to you as a person. They are entertained by you and they're informed by you. And so I think that's the magic.
So if you're doing it now, if you were doing a daily show like I do, what would be your area of expertise?
I don't have an expertise when it comes to playing the game in the way you did. I mean, I make 100 three-pointers every morning before I go to work. You know, I make sure to get my shots up, and I love basketball. I love the Bucks. I'm as deeply involved in every roster spot, you know, as a fan could be, and I'm fortunate enough to be a limited partner in the team. But I think what my expertise would be is now I actually have the credibility. I've lived here 29 years. I've been in this community. I raised a kid here. I do so many of the things that other people do. I may not mow my lawn, but I do a lot of those things. I don't know how to turn on a lawnmower. I don't know if I even own a lawnmower.
One of those electronic that you just plug and let it, and it just, you see those where they just, like a Roomba.
Roomba for the lawn.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw the guy four houses down from me, they have one of those. It's so satisfying to just watch that thing go.
And they do patterns.
Yeah.
They have like these
patterns. You can just watch that stuff all day.
Good Karma Brands founder, CEO Craig Karmazin, joining us on Wildy and Tausch. It's the 10 for 10 series built by Outdoor Living Unlimited. I know, Craig, that if Jason was here.
Well, by the way, I am not going anywhere Labor Day weekend. I am all in for Badgers Notre Dame and for Wildy and Tausch celebration weekend.
Do you think that it's going to be 60? What do you think the split's going to be, Notre Dame compared to the Badger fans up at Lambeau?
Oh, I've been assuming it'd be a heavy Wisconsin crowd. Is it not going to be?
I've been thinking like 75-25 Wisconsin. He thinks otherwise.
I think it's going to be heavy Notre Dame.
Really?
I think Wisconsin, if we can get it to 50-50, because LSU, Wisconsin,
that's a small private school.
That's what I heard. They don't have any endowments or anything. LSU, Wisconsin was probably close to 50-50. Notre Dame fans are clamoring to get up to Lambeau. I'll be surprised if it's 50-50.
Wow. I think you're probably right then. I mean, that is not surprising. I know we're not necessarily with college kids leaning toward talking about gambling, but do we have an early point spread and expectations of
I can't mention it, but it is substantially larger than I thought it was going to be.
As someone who never attended the University of Wisconsin and doesn't affiliate himself with the team in any way, I think it's a multiple touchdown.
Don't you do the
difference.
Volleyball?
Oh, actually, it is three touchdowns.
Yeah, it's a lot.
And a half a missed extra point.
Not good.
Where do you think
to shock the world?
Where do you think college football is going?
I mean, it's going, I think it's going in a good direction.
You do?
Yeah. I don't think it's going in a direction that is the purity that like so many of us like loved it for, but I think it's going toward college sports in general at a major level of men's basketball, women's basketball, women's volleyball, and football. In that order, those are the ones I care about.
I figured.
You know, I think are getting to where the best talent can find a way to both be rewarded and find a way to where it can set up the most competitive teams and games possible, right? Like this free agency that exists is not like what we love. Like, would Mike Wilkinson in his like seventh year at the Badgers have finally broken through and been so great? Or like, would he have just transferred to Duke after we had put in all those years, right? Like, it's not what we grew up and what we loved and what we saw for all these years. But I think, you know, when you get to the tournament, like the quality of basketball this year was so friggin' good in the NCAA tournament. And the best teams were better than they've been in many, many years. And by the way, kids aren't leaving college anymore, right? The NBA draft, the entire second round of the NBA draft this year were seniors and international players, because if you're a sophomore or you're a junior and if you have any eligibility, you can actually make more money by staying in college than leaving college early, which creates a better product for college sports. So I think it's uncomfortable for us all, and we don't and it's like the Wild West right now, but I think it's creating a better overall product.
But won't it have to at some point? You've run a successful business. At some point, you have to have cost certainty, and they don't. How do you, at some point, it's going to have to happen.
I mean, the Premier League doesn't in England. There's no salary caps. There's no cost certainty, and it operates. It's probably the best league in the world.
So you think that's what the NCAA should model its businesses after Premier League?
I mean, there's something else that happens in Premier League that's pretty significant, though.
Like what?
Relegation.
Yeah, which I think I see coming at some point to this. I think a model where there is some sort of Power 5 or Power 3 or Power whatever, where team whoever wins the lower league actually can get up into the top league, and there's a certain amount of mid majors that have the ability to go up and down into the major,
like the Bradley Bears or whatever you call the Braves.
Think how cool that would be if you guys were like, hey, if we beat all the mid majors this year, there's three spots to go up into, like where next year we'll be playing like in the Big Ten. Like
that'd be awesome.
And by the way, and with player movement, you could all of a sudden. All you need is, you know, you or one of your rich people to throw a few million bucks, and then all of a sudden, you know, you could afford in 1 year to upgrade your roster to be able to compete in the Big Ten. Like we saw Indiana do it, you know, and I don't think that's replicatable, you know, that easily, but I mean, we've seen it done.
Yeah, and then you could start getting ROI on it because in the Premier League, if you get into the Premier League, right? I don't know. The only soccer I know is when we were discussing it. That's where you end up getting paid out more is if you climb and get into that level, right?
Yeah. I mean, then you're getting a part of that TV money, right? So if all of a sudden you go up a league, then Bradley's all of a sudden getting a share of the CFP money and, you know, all that stuff. So I it's uncomfortable, but I think it's creating the best product. And these athletes who work so hard from such a young age are actually being compensated
in
a way
that part of it has been great.
And by the way, I just don't know. You said the NCAA. I don't know if the NCAA has the authority to do it. That's the problem is it's hard to not be the Wild West when it's not clear who actually can make the decisions.
All right, last one for me, Craig. I know you're busy, but the Evan Cohen joined us earlier, and he basically asked us, what is the Matt LaFleur Jordan Love resume? And I was having a hard time answering it.
Yeah, I mean, I think what we saw is it was almost like how like this year the Spurs were like, 2 years too early. Like, I think Jordan Love was legitimately 2 years too early because that first year, not only did they make the playoffs, which was 1 year too early, then beating that number two seed, right? Going to Dallas and winning that game on the road.
Sped everything up.
That was like the second year.
Yep.
So like, they were like 2 years ahead of pace. So last year was when that was supposed to be happening. And last year you were playing without your best defensive player.
Three or four big,
you know,
best
some
players,
offensive linemen that I probably have never heard of. Your best tight
Zach
end.
Tom.
Yeah, I know. You're playing without all these guys, and you're losing these close games. And I think they were the best regular season team in the conference. I don't think they've been in Seattle in the postseason. I don't think they would have beat the Rams by the end of the year. But I think they were right there.
So, Craig, I know if Jason was here, he would want to ask you this question. Jason has said many times the origins of Wildy and Tausch when he was asked who he could want to host a show with, and he picked Tausch. What, if any, role did you have, or what's your perspective of how this show came to be in its origins 10 years ago as we now celebrate its 10th anniversary this year? What's your perspective of that side of Jason's story where he says he wanted to do a show with Tausch? What happened from there?
I mean, Evan Cohen was very involved in that at the time. And that, I mean, I think Jason, as we've talked about, like free agents, like, you know, he's, you know, like a Giannis, right? Like when you have a Jason Wildy, you need to do anything you can to keep a Jason Wildy. And so it was like, okay.
So am I Thanasis in this equation?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I think it might be
all
Alex.
Right, kudos. Yeah. Alex, okay.
And we were like, what do you need? What day part? What hours would you work? What, you know, who would you want to be surrounded? Like anything. And he's like, 9 to noon, you know, it would allow me to do the girls, the press conferences, the whatever Jason does, you know, the dogs, the dance, the rabbits, the, you know, all of it, right?
It's about all of it, yeah.
And I would
want
to do...
For someone that never leaves his basement, he does have a lot of hobbies.
Yeah. I'd want to do 9 to noon with Mark Tauscher. And ultimately, like, when your superstar says that, you then have to find a way to make it happen.
Boom. There's your origin.
There it is.
10 years later, yep. Here we go.
But Tausch, So what year were you drafted?
2000.
I mean, so this is now like 25 plus years we've had a relationship, which is crazy to think.
Craig, I've known Craig now for a long time, and Steve, and this all stemmed from an old Chicago remote that we went out and I spent an hour. I don't even know what the hell we were talking about.
Was Ron Slavin?
Yeah, he was helping. We went out and it was going to be 15 minutes and we ended up just having, it was like a food truck.
We were sitting outside doing our remote.
And it was
hot. On an outdoor patio.
Connections weren't working.
Yeah.
And everything else was great.
And like we just figured, like, because he like made, we're like, oh, all these like sixth round picks all just end up as starters. And like, I don't think we had a full appreciation that early in Tausch's career how special he was as a player. Because I think everyone who was around Tausch knew he was a special person and he was a special communicator and, you know, gifted, you know, in so many ways. But I think Tausch on some levels, I think, is just a vastly underrated football player at this point, because he was an incredible, you know, if you were a first round pick, you would have been a Pro Bowler.
I hope so.
I'm saying, and if analytics were around to the degree they were now, like you, when I saw some analytics, you graded out really well.
Well, thanks, Craig.
So Tausch is a legend. Obviously, it's amazing to have him as a teammate. He is still the only person in the history of our company to have a perfect peer review score, where his
Jesse was part-time.
I must not have been working here.
Yeah, he was part-time. Where he got 100% like score from his peers across every aspect of being a teammate. And we use the word teammate in the company and have Tausch around. He just embodies it in all ways. And it's been incredible to have this relationship.
Well, Craig, thanks for everything that you've done helping launch this show 10 years ago. And as
by the way, we're still really
time.
Late for breaks. That was the one thing the Stephen Craig show had that, back and
followed
it happens
the lead.
Again. Yeah.
We followed the lead.
That
and
has
we've
not
only
changed.
Got, we've only gotten it worse, which is, I think, strong. But you know what's better? Our friends at Outdoor Living Unlimited and the project Sarah and I are working on. We met with Aaron and Eric Brown, brothers and owners of Outdoor Living Unlimited, and they were the right guys for our project. We're just getting started. We went into their showroom on Stoughton Road. If you're looking for a new deck, outdoor kitchen, screen room, or more, Outdoor Living Unlimited is a must. Start with OutdoorLivingUnlimited.com and end with an amazing outdoor space. Check them out, OutdoorLivingUnlimited.com.
The 10 for 10 series built by Outdoor Living Unlimited. Craig Carmerson, thanks so much for sharing some time with us here in studio today.
Thanks, guys.
Really appreciate it. Whoa, Wooly, if we have any time for it, is next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
The best record in baseball.
Boy, baseball!
This is Madison's home of the Brewers, 100.5 ESPN.
Thanks again to Craig Carmerson, founder and CEO of Good Karma Brands, joining us in the Outdoor Living Unlimited 10 for 10 series.
Are we allowed to make fun of Tausch on the air?
Oh, yeah,
on the
air. Yeah. Yes.
You don't know who Ryan Rollins is?
I always confuse Ryan Rollins with Ryan Hollins because he was a hot take. Like, we think Jimmy Rutledge throws hot takes.
Yeah.
Ryan Rollins slash
Ryan
Hollins.
No, not slash. Okay. Ryan Hollins is a former player. Ryan Rollins is a player who has, you know, busted out for the Bucks and, you know, is a great combo guard with really great length, who is one of the exciting players to watch this
year. Okay. So Ryan Rollins is who we're looking at, not Ryan Hollins. And
correct.
Okay.
Yes, Ryan Hollins may have been playing when you can tune in to Light It Up, the new season of the Behind the Bucks podcast
have
on
you
the Bucks Plus Audio Network. I have not yet.
No,
I've been running around a bunch.
I'm still confused on the Charlie Barron's deal with that was the Olympic McDonald's team.
Yeah, that was the last Behind the Bucks.
Yeah, I know.
That was a really good
show. I know it was good.
Yeah.
It was intriguing to kind of see all that. Those things won't happen in today's day.
The Milwaukee Bucks played against Russia, and it was in Milwaukee, and it was basically the first time an NBA team was going to play and could potentially lose, and all the pressure of the world was on the Bucks. That is also on Behind the Bucks, presented by Gallagher.
My question is, because is that just because the money is now so obscene? Because I remember talking to Pat Richter as he was you bumped him out of our top 10 when they would play the Super Bowl defending champions. Before the preseason started.
You're saying the college would play, yeah.
I have a DVD of it. He gave me the DVD of the game. And it's like, what are they doing? Thinking now, why on earth, how would they do that? Is that strictly just because players are making so much money now?
I think that's why things like that will happen. is because there's money to be made. So I think there will be things that
you're
are
telling
more
me
like
you
that.
Think you think that college all-stars that are going into their NFL will go and play the defending the Seahawks are going to sign up.
I don't think that, but I believe if someone put up enough money where the worst team in the NFL
the Arizona Cardinals
would play
Indiana this year after the season.
Yes.
Maybe not in the sprint, not like they did it back with Pat.
I do think the players make too much and the insurance and all that. I don't think you could pull that off. But I do think, like what we talked about with the Bucks playing international teams, I believe that's where we're going. I believe that the NBA Europe will launch not next year, but the year after.
Four teams or how many?
More than that.
Really?
What I believe is, again, not speaking for the league, I have no inside information, that as travel gets easier and quicker and technology, that there will be an in-season tournament that features European NBA teams and domestic NBA teams.
Do you think if that does happen, will the European players, do you think a Doncic would say, I'd much rather go play over there?
I think
or the league would
Luka
want that?
At 42 years old might want to do that, right? Oh. Like it might be that like last act for players who are from there who can continue to play
would
in
Greece
the league,
get a
maybe
team?
Maybe get their pension.
Would Greece get a team?
It's a nice size city there.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
So I think like as it expands,
nice
I think
size city there.
By the way, do you know Istanbul is?
I wanted to go.
Istanbul is bigger than London.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Who knows?
I thought London was like the biggest city in the world.
That's what I thought too until I went to Istanbul.
London. You thought London was bigger than Tokyo.
I thought London was like top three.
You thought London
I feel
was
like there's like six cities in China bigger than London.
Yeah, there is. Yeah. London bigger than, come on, Jesse.
Behind the Bucks, presented by Gallagher, your
bigger
trusted insurance broker and HR and benefits consultant. This is a real dilemma. Do we
what
go
is
long?
The Stoughton,
London is actually,
what is the Stoughton
London
of,
is actually smaller than McFarland. It's just that England is so small that it seems
better,
big.
The hockey
London
is better in McFarland than it is in London.
And the curling scene, too, no doubt.
In soccer, I think it's different.
Do you realize all of England's like the size of New Jersey? They have 120 professional soccer teams, and it's like the size of New Jersey, the whole
and
country.
And we wonder why the U.S. doesn't win a World Cup.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Sorry, Rich Eisen. We're going to be late getting to Craig Karmazin wraps it up with us next on Wilde and Tausch.
Will Giannis regret leaving Milwaukee?
You know, 34 holds so much weight. And out of the respect to the organization that drafted me and I played for 13 years, I decided to leave that number there.
This is Madison's home of the Bucks, 100.5 ESPN.
Ty Montgomery, your Steinhoffel's sleeper of the last 10 years. We had mailed that clue a little earlier in the show.
As the kick returner against the Rams.
Yep, they fumbled. That was in the clue. He fumbled and was traded immediately after
that. Was
that
when
game.
They had the blue and yellow, like the Rams were wearing the old school Eric Dickerson jerseys? That was a...
They were playing
they
in the Coliseum.
They should never change that look. Yeah. You're a big Rams guy.
I am a big Rams guy. Montgomery, a big like receiver into running back.
Yeah. You know?
Yes.
And then,
very versatile.
Then nothing.
And then he was gone. Craig Karmazin, founder, CEO of Good Karma Brands, hanging out with us here in the 11 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch. I'm told our Milwaukee station has already gotten to Rich Eisen on time, so we're over. So any final thoughts for us, Craig, before we leave, since we're already late? What the heck?
Bucks, you know, this last 10 years, you know, it's been the winningest, you know, one of the winningest organizations in all of sports and a championship, one of eight teams, you know, eight different teams have won over the last 8 years and for the Bucks to be one of them. And I think this is, in Wisconsin, there has not been a lot of tests. There's Badger football and the Bucks of like, are you not a bandwagon fan? Because the Packers have been in the playoffs every year since 1907 at this point. The Brewers have the best record in baseball every year. So like, if you're truly a fan, if you truly love the sport, you truly love the team, this is the kind of year that Bucks fans lean in. It's going to be a great coach. It's going to be a team that's going to play super hard. And it's going to be one of those like, hey, I was with the squad in 2026 when it all started back going.
Do you think the Brewers fans should still feel like underdogs? I know we got to go, but
yes.
you still think they should, even with having the best record? And now, again, I know it's only late July. You still think so?
There's that swagger that we as Brewers fans should feel like we belong. But I mean, what this team is accomplishing, I don't think should be normalized at any point. We should have such a deep, ridiculous appreciation for it.
And feel like the playoffs, we should be the Dodgers get their respect. They've won it, but not feel like we're anybody's underdog.
Oh, I think it, I mean, the Dodgers pitching staff and the Dodgers' ability to literally rest pitchers for the regular season, like, make the Brewers an underdog in the postseason, but have an absolute chance. It's not like I have no chance. It's just an under. It would be being disingenuous to not say the Brewers will be an underdog in the postseason, regardless of if they have the best record again this year.
Hmm. There you go.
Sorry, Rich Eisen. Thank you, Craig, for joining us during the 11 o'clock hour of Will Detail. We really appreciate
Congratulations,
it.
Congratulations, guys.
And thank you for everything. We will be back at it tomorrow, as Jason always says. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on the ESPN Wisconsin app.